scripture this morning is from the book of Mark, 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 6. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, 3rd chapter, first verse. Reading there from the book of Mark, the 3rd chapter, commencing with that first verse. Another time he went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Now, in reading this scripture tonight, we find that Jesus displayed a quality which each one of us ought to display in our own lives. Every Sabbath, he could be found in the synagogue. He went to church every Sabbath day. And on this particular day, the scripture tells us, when he entered the synagogue, he saw a man who was in need. He saw a man with a withered hand. Now, Luke tells us that was his right hand. He was a man with a handicap. He met life at a disadvantage, and he represented the group which always made a strong appeal to Jesus. And as the people observed Jesus look upon this man, great expectations arose, for they knew when Jesus came face to face with a need like this, a miracle was going to follow. Divine healing had taken place before, and these people were eager to see it happen again. Another group was also present. This group was different from the previous group. Their eyes were ablaze with hatred. Their faces were hard. They were the Pharisees, the custodians of the law. They were watching to ensure Jesus didn't desecrate the Sabbath. They didn't care for the poor. They didn't care for the needy. Their only thought at this particular point was of one rigid rule: observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Jesus knew how they felt, but this didn't stop him from doing that which is right. He told the man to stand up. And then the scripture says he turned to the Pharisees and said, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?" The Pharisees, of course, were unable to answer him. That was normally the case with them. And as Jesus looked upon them, he was deeply distressed at the hardness of their hearts. The scripture tells us he looked at them in anger, and then turning to the man, Jesus said, "Stretch out your hand." And when the man stretched out his hand, Jesus completely restored it. The man was overcome with joy as he now had a new hand, full use of his hand. And the people present were also filled with joy. But the faces of the Pharisees were red with anger. They went out and they began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus, because he cared more for the healing of this man than he cared for their interpretation of the law. Now, as we think upon anger, the scripture said Jesus looked at them. He was angry. They were angry at him for healing this man. When we look upon anger, we know that all anger is not good. And actually, anger is usually a mark of littleness in a person rather than bigness. Anyone can get angry. We've seen babies who were too young to talk, and yet they're old enough to get red-faced in anger and let you know it. Now, the Bible never encourages anger. The psalmist said in Psalms 37:8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. The scripture tells us in the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter, the 32nd verse, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. And the Apostle Paul said in the book of Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 8th verse, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as anger. And Paul also said in Ephesians, the 4th chapter and the 26th verse, do not let the sun go down while you are angry. Jesus said in Matthew 5:22, anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. If we are quick to lose our tempers, often people will not look upon us as good Christians. They'll doubt the genuineness of our religion. We've all been around people who seemingly lose their temper at the least provocation. When something doesn't go to their liking, they are quick to become angry. And as a consequence, others begin to avoid even being around them. No one wants to be around a person that requires that you walk on eggshells when you're in their presence. Such a person needs to spend time with God in prayer, asking that he would be shown how to deal with his temper effectively. You'll have a difficult time leading others to Christ when you actually remind them of the devil. It's necessary that you allow the love of God to flow through you in order that you might remind others of Christ instead. You recall the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And as we read through the scripture, we find the anger displayed by the Pharisees was the wrong kind of anger. The anger displayed by the Pharisees was a selfish anger. The Pharisees, they weren't interested in the poor. They weren't interested in the needy. When the law was violated, they took that as a personal attack upon themselves. Their pride was wounded. They were insulted. They weren't concerned about any injustice to others. But when something happened that was not to their personal liking, they were filled with rage. And today, if we aren't careful, we'll find ourselves falling into that same category. If something happens that causes hurt to another, we think, well, that's just unfortunate. But if something happens to us, we're ready to go on a rampage, get quick in a hurry, get mad in a hurry. You'll recall when God sent Jonah to the city of Nineveh, after he was finally able to get his attention and convince him that it was in his best interest to do as the Lord commanded, i.e. after having been swallowed by a whale and spit up on the beach. The message which Jonah proclaimed to the city of Nineveh was one of doom. Jonah cried out, you recall in the scripture, 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. The people then repented of their sins. Doom was averted. But we don't find Jonah rejoicing that the Ninevites repented of their sin and turned to God. Instead, he became angry. He didn't want the Ninevites to repent and return to God. He wanted them to continue in their sin. He wanted them to be destroyed. He didn't like those Ninevites. He didn't like them at all. Thousands of lives were saved, but Jonah was angry nonetheless. That is the wrong kind of anger. The anger of the Pharisees made them want to kill Jesus. Now, anger is usually always destructive. The first impulse of anger is to strike out at someone. Many people have been killed because another person became angry with them. Now, of course, a Christian, we don't expect a Christian is going to go out and murder another person, but there are those who claim to be children of God who hurt others in a more refined way. They don't use a sword, but they use the tongue. They wouldn't wound the body, but they wound the heart, which is much worse. One of the easiest things in the world to do today is to sit around and speak derogatorily of another person. Anyone can criticize. Anyone can run another person down, especially when the person being spoken of derogatorily isn't present. There are those who get angry and quit the job they've agreed to in the church. They may be adults, but their actions are more like that of little children. Christians must have a childlike faith, but they must not be childish in their actions. When one gets angry and consequently gives up the job that they've agreed to in the church, though they may hurt the church, they hurt themselves most of all. The church was established by Jesus Christ, and it's going to grow. But that one who walks away in anger is entering into a life of misery. Then when that person gets to heaven, they'll say, "Lord, I didn't serve you on the earth because I just didn't like some of the things that were going on down there. I didn't like the way they were operating." You know, anger is often very silly. In anger, men do foolish things that they wouldn't ordinarily do. A certain man was in the sign painting business. He had a talent. He had the ability to push on when things weren't going as well as they might, but he also had a terrible temper. And one day when he was putting a sign up, which he had painted, he was having trouble getting that sign in place. And he began to become angry about that. He cursed the sign, as if that were going to help it get in place better. And he became even more angry. Finally, he threw the sign down to the ground and kicked a hole in it. Now, no one wants to be around a person like that. That man had the ability to work hard, but he couldn't control his temper. After several years, his business began to drop off. He had a hard time hiring qualified help because no one wanted to tolerate him. He went broke. A person may become angry and hurt another person by saying something hurting to them, but they hurt themselves most of all. We see in the scripture that there was nothing wrong with the anger displayed by Jesus. The anger of Jesus was not wrong because it came from a heart which loved others and wanted only the best for them. Jesus became angry, the scripture tells us, because he loved mankind and he witnessed time after time the bitterness which the Pharisees had in their hearts toward others. And when Jesus himself was treated badly by the Pharisees, his attitude was not such that he vowed to get even with them. He had the keen ability to show them that they were wrong in what they were doing, and that infuriated them all the more. But Jesus didn't lose his temper and vent his rage upon them. The Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law, they continually attempted to make Jesus feel small, make him feel uncomfortable. Yet Jesus was not personally offended. Peter, you recall, swore that he would go to his death before betraying Jesus. Yet it was just a few short hours later that Peter was denying he even knew who Jesus was. Jesus didn't harbor anger in his heart toward Peter for that. Rather, the scripture tells us Jesus looked upon Peter with love, mercy, and forgiveness. And when Jesus hung on the cross and the people yelled at him and belittled him, Jesus didn't yell insults back at them, but rather he prayed for them. When Jesus saw righteousness and truth trampled upon, it was then he became angry. When the Pharisees put their pride above the suffering of mankind, Jesus became angry. When Jesus saw the temple being desecrated, it was then he became angry. When he saw the religious leaders taking full advantage of those who attempted to do that which was in keeping with the commandments, he became angry and he asked them, "How will you escape being condemned to hell?" If Jesus were on earth today, he would have many occasions for anger. He would be angry with those who support the liquor industry, thereby making drunkards of good men. He would be angry with those who deal in illegal narcotics, thereby ruining the lives of all that they come in contact with. Today, there are untold numbers of families who are miserable because the money which should be used to buy food, clothing for the family, is used instead in the purchasing of alcohol, dope. Jesus would be angry with those who claim to love him and trust him, but who dedicate their lives and their influence to the things of the world while the work of the church goes in want. He would be angry with those who take such courses of action that the countries of the world are thrown into war, thereby bringing sorrow upon untold millions of people. The anger of Jesus, we see, was a righteous anger. And when we get angry, we feel like striking out at another. When Jesus was angry, he wanted to heal another. Not only did the heart of Jesus go out to this man with the shriveled hand, but it went out as well to the spiritual blind Pharisees. Jesus didn't hate the Pharisees individually. What he hated was their sin. He would have helped them would they have allowed it. The anger which Jesus felt towards sin led him to perform many great works in opposition to sinfulness. Many times today, we become angry and afterward we feel rather weak. Even ashamed. Have you ever been so angry you felt weak afterwards? You got thinking about that and you're kind of ashamed of yourself, what you said, what you did. And looking at the Old Testament, we find that Moses became angry many times. We also find that God used him more greatly than did he any other man. In the New Testament, we find the Apostle Paul. He had a hot temper. He'd catch hot in a minute. He became very angry. But he was also the greatest worker. When we become hot with righteous indignation, we can go out and right the wrongs of society with more passion in our souls. One of the signs of decaying morals is the fact that we as a whole, as a people in the United States, we don't get angry over wrong anymore. We take wrong and look the other way, think nothing of it. We're all prone to justify ourselves by saying, well, we're tolerant. We've learned to be tolerant in life. That is not tolerance, but rather it's simply indifference. There were a group of young people who were rehearsing a play, and one of the young ladies was openly insulted by one of the young men that was there. There were a dozen other young men standing around. They heard that insult. Not one of them said a word to the man who uttered it. Did they not say anything to him because they were tolerant? They didn't say anything to him because their own morals were so badly decayed, they failed to see the need to defend the dignity of that young lady. Christians living in the United States today have become so influenced by the evilness of our society that we are taught to hold back all forms of anger, even when we should rightfully allow our anger to flow forth in order to right a wrong. Though we must attempt to restrain the wrong kind of anger, righteous indignation is a testimony to others that we are Christians. Righteous anger over wrong should lead us to attempt to correct it. And any attempt on our part to right a wrong must be performed in Christian love. Our eyes must be focused upon the leading of our beloved Savior. When he gives us directions, we should not hesitate. As we open our hearts to Christ, as we allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead us, rather than allowing a hot temper to take control, may we allow the love of God to flow through us. And may we as Christians, children of God upon this earth, allow the example which Christ set for us to follow continuing righteous indignation, to be our guide as we see the fellowship of Christ in our lives completely. We feel the fellowship of Christ in our lives. Jesus left the glory of heaven. He descended to this earth in order to set the example for us to follow. He willingly gave his precious life on the cross in order to pay the required price for our sinfulness. And this evening, the gift of salvation is available to any who are willing to receive it. In order to be saved, we know we simply repent of our sins, humble ourselves before Christ, and faithfully accept him as our Lord and Savior. And the scripture tells us the moment we do that, the moment we humble ourselves before Christ and accept him as our Savior, our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west, and they're remembered no more. Our bodies become the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Our name is entered in the Lamb's Book of Life, and a home in the kingdom of heaven is prepared for us. Praise God for that he loves us so. Praise God that he sent Jesus Christ to this earth to set the example for us to live our lives by. And may we pray that he would give us the strength, the wisdom, the desire to follow his holy word. Do as he says. The scripture tells us in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 1st verse, that we are to be imitators of God. Imitate him completely. Let us pray. Our dear most gracious loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise your precious holy name. Lord, we're grateful for the love that you have for us. Grateful, Lord, that you sent Jesus Christ to this earth to give his life on the cross that we might have the precious gift of salvation. Lord, we pray as your children, our lives would be reflective of Jesus, that, Lord, we would have the desire to reach out to others, Lord, to help them as we may. Your holy name be glorified by all that we say, Lord, all that we do. We pray this evening, Lord, if there should be one here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that, Lord, they would accept him as such. We pray your precious will be accomplished completely. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, thy beloved Son. Amen.